And I'm pleased to be joined by Brad Beagleman of Beagleman Motors in Renton.
Yeah.
Mr. Beagleman, great to see you again.
Hi, Pat.
Are you still known as the sensitive dealer?
Oh, gosh, I hope so, because I just want to put people into a car, you know?
Well, sure.
And I don't mean put them into a car. They can get into it by themselves. I won't lay a hand on them, no.
Now, Mr. Beagleman, I understand there's some big changes coming to Beagleman Motors.
Big, Pat.
Okay.
Sounded like I said big fat, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, what are the changes?
We have gone all electric cars here, Pat.
Oh, my gosh. All electric, huh?
I've gotten rid of our old service department.
So then no more service.
Don't need it. Electric cars, they don't need oil changes or any service, really.
What about things like brakes?
Well, we encourage our customers to practice swerving more.
Swerving.
Yeah. Swerve. You don't need brakes as much if you start swerving.
Yeah. Now, why are you doing this, Mr. Beagleman?
It's for the environment, Pat.
The what?
The environment.
Environment.
We've got 100% electric for the environment.
You mean the environment?
That's what I said.
Oh, I must have misheard.
The other dealers, they don't care about the environment, Pat.
Mr. Beagleman.
That's because all they care about is money.
You're losing it.
They don't care about all the dinosaurs that died so they can get their oil and their gas.
Mr. Beagleman.
Their money-grabbing, heartless, no-good scum buckets.
Mr. Beagleman, you've lost it again.
Just like the old days. Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
It's time for Peculiar Podcast, hosted by Pat Cashman.
Gorgeous to look at.
And Lisa Foster.
She's dangerous.
Gee, you're on.
Ready or not, it's Pat and Lisa.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
It's love and time.
Damn it to hell, let's get to it.
What? Okay, you need to calm your energy down, because I can't take that level right now.
I thought I would explode out of the gate for a change, so that
don't like
people...
It.
You don't like it?
I don't like it.
All right.
Can you go back to the gate and come out quietly, please?
Yes, okay. Hey, did you see that video, by the way? I live down in Central Oregon, and there's a little town called Sisters, which is not too far away. And they every year they have a big, big deal rodeo. The Sisters Rodeo, they call it. It's been going for 100 years, something like that. Well, they're normally nobody would pay much attention unless you lived around here, but... An incident happened at the Sisters Rodeo that made all of the major network newscasts.
Oh no. Did an animal get hurt?
No. Quite the opposite.
Okay.
There's a bull running around in this rodeo ring, and it jumped over a fence into the audience.
I saw that.
And injured three people. So the bull finally got the upper hand for a change. And somebody, you know, remember the old saying, if in the news business, in TV news, if it bleeds, it leads, they used to say cynically, because if it's a big, gory story, then that's going to be our lead story. Well, now I would say if you have a cell phone video, it leads.
Yeah.
Or if it gores, it doesn't bore, whatever. But so this bull jumps over the fence and somebody caught it on home video or on cell phone video. And
you're so square. They got it on home video.
Well, I misspoke. Okay. Thanks for pouncing on it.
I'm sorry, lousy hitter
swinging at a curveball.
You're the one who came screaming out of the gate.
All right.
That'll teach you to slow down. No, listen, I want to tell you something though about that video. So,
yeah.
I have a really tough time, as you know, with animal...
Completing a sentence?
Well, I can't think straight. I just woke up, first of all. That's why I want you to be quiet for a little bit. This is unlike me to sleep in this late, but I did. So I can't think straight. But anyway, so I don't like it when I see videos that have anything to do with some sort of animals doing something, because I just feel like it's going to end badly for the animal. So I saw the video you were talking about,
yeah.
but I stopped watching it right when he got to the edge of the arena. I went, I don't want to see what happens to him. So he's okay, though. Is that what you're telling me?
I cannot tell you that he's okay. He might be in the hamburger section at Fred Meyer right now. I don't know, but I think he's okay. They got him. He injured three people. See, in an arena, there are these little entrance ways, you know, at various parts of a stadium or an arena.
Oh, right.
And so he jumped the fence there and went down the aisle. So some poor guy that's walking back to his family carrying three beers and a hot dog, he gets mowed over. But the good part of the story is it's finally an animal triumphs over men, and I think that's why the story caught everybody's
attention. Okay, but that was in your little hood down in Sisters, Oregon.
Yeah, right here in the hood.
Well, for
right
crying out loud.
Yeah, I know. Okay, well, let's get to some people who didn't make out as well as the bull did. This music we've been playing in the background, very well-known song, Ina Gata Da Vida.
I love it.
By the group Iron Butterfly. One of the vocalists, the vocalist for the group, passed away. Doug Engel, he was 78. Doug says, somebody else said about Doug, he wrote this song, by the way, Ina Gata Da Vida. Well, apparently, one of the other band members and went to Doug's apartment or his house or whatever, and Doug's sitting there working on this song he's come up with, but Doug is also down about a gallon of red wine.
Yes.
So he's kind of out of it. Hey, come here. I came up with a good song. What's the name of it? And the name of it, according to legend, was supposed to be In the Garden of Eden. But he couldn't say In the Garden of Eden very well.
Of course not.
Because of his condition. So it's called In the Garden of Eden. Huh? Okay. That sounds fine to me. And so that's the song that became just this giant hit in, I don't know, 1968 or whatever. In the Garden of Eden. And I loved it. You know, it was 17 minutes long, the original song.
Oh, I didn't realize. I knew it was a long song. I didn't know it was that long.
Yeah,
really?
They did a cut-down version for radio that was like 3 minutes long. But you got to hear the full song because, you know, when I got out of high school, I started doing radio disc jockey stuff. And if you had a 17-minute song, you could go to the bathroom. You could make an omelet for yourself. You could go for a drive. You could play a game of cards.
Pedicure.
Yeah, anything. You had so much time to do that. I hear your dogs barking back there.
I'm sorry.
I hope nobody's attacking you. No, they're fine.
Can we kind of keep it down? Hey, can we keep it down, please, mommies? Mommy just won't. Hey. Okay, I give up. I can't even get to the door now.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. They're probably upset that Doug Engel passed away at the age of 78. A couple of other quick ones here. Daryl Hickman died at the age of 92. He was a child actor. He was in a movie like Grapes of Wrath.
This here's a desert. We're right in it. I wish it was day. Tom says if it was day, it'd cut the gizzard right out of you. I seen the picture once, and there was bones everywhere. Man bones? Some, I guess, but mostly cow bones.
I sure would like to see some of them man bones.
You saw him in all kinds of movies. We need a kid. Let's get Daryl Hickman. He had a long career, and then he later became an executive, I think, at the network level. His brother, Dwayne Hickman, was the star of Dobie Gillis. That's an old TV series.
Dobie, once a gal was dreamy, Dobie. Once a gal was screamy, Dobie. Once a gal to call.
is on.
Daryl Hickman made it to 92. His brother passed away much earlier. And then the race car driver, Parnelli Jones, passed at the age of 90.
Parnelli Jones takes the white flag. One lap to go. But Roger McCluskey in third place makes a desperate bid to improve his position on this 199th lap. But Parnelli Jones finishes the 500-mile ordeal in 3 hours and 29.
He won six Indy races and four NASCAR events. And just a great race car driver. Parnelli made it to 90. And finally, one of the best books I have read, I would say, in the last 5 years, and I've sent copies to people that I just know would love it. It was called Rocket Men, and it was about the crew of the Apollo 8, who was the first crew to orbit the moon. And Bill Anders was one of the three crewmen, aged 90. He died in a crash. He and his wife moved to Orcas Island a few years ago, and he was flying by himself, and he crashed.
It went into a barrel roll, sort of a loop. It was inverted, went into this barrel roll loop thing, tried to pull up before it hit the water, but it was too low when it started the loop, and it didn't clear the water. It looked like it clipped a wing at first and went down very hard, burst into flames, broke apart, and instantly went underwater.
Engines of the first stage were ignited.
There's not too little irony that he dies in a simple plane crash when this guy took a flight to the moon, and they flew around it with other astronauts, Frank Borman and James Lovell. And Bill Anders founded the Heritage Flight Museum, which used to be in Bellingham, but now it's in Burlington. That's something cool to check out. But this book, Rocket Men, written by a guy named Robert Corson, if I'm going to recommend a book to people, go read that book. It's fantastic. You don't think, I don't care about astronauts and that stuff. You'll love it.
You never recommended it to me.
Well, I don't think you'd like it.
Well,
because you don't care about astronauts.
I'm going to read it anyway.
Okay, if you think you will like it, it's a really, it's just wonderfully, it's written like a great piece of riveting, thrilling fiction, but it all was real. It really happened.
If you believe it really happened.
The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Back in the day, NASA was taking their sweet time, taking test flights and going slow with their goal of going to the moon, as President Kennedy had urged. But then the Soviets started advancing more quickly, and then it became a race. And so they took a wild... They weren't ready to make this flight to the moon and circle the moon, but they sped it up. They said, let's hurry and do it. So it was a very risky mission. You'll read all about that in the book. It probably was the more important flight than even the one that landed on the moon, the author argues, because it was just amazingly risky because they really didn't have all the technology figured out yet. But we thought, we think it'll work. Let's try it. Anyway, that astronaut, Bill Anders, and he's also famous because he's the guy who took a color photo from the moon of the Earth, and everybody has seen this photo.
Oh my God, look at that picture over there. Wow. Hand me a roll of color quick.
Oh man, that's great.
Yeah, it's the famous Earthrise photo.
Which a lot of people think influenced the environmental movement in this country. When you saw this fragile little ball out in space, that's us. And it can be snuffed out pretty completely if we don't take care of it. So Bill Anders, 90. Okay, that's it. That's all I got. Now, I don't want to become, Lisa, the kind of podcast, and I know you've listened to a few, and I've listened back to many of our podcasts, and I'm pointing the finger at me for being the ranting, complaining podcast. We don't do it all the time, but I do it occasionally, and I get off to the things that annoy me.
I do too. I complain. I complain and I rant.
And isn't it fun?
You don't have to take all. Yes, I love it. It's so fun. What do you got? Okay, what do you want to rant
this
about?
This, you know, I'm calmed down. If we had done the podcast the day it happened, I would. This would be so full of expletives and. If there is a podcast tribunal somewhere, they would come and shut us down. That's how over the top I would have been. But
so how long ago did this?
Probably about the time of our last podcast. In fact, that day.
So, okay. Oh, so, okay. Good. Well, gosh, yeah. I'm glad you have a little bit of a buffer.
So we finished our podcast, and I got in my car, and we have a 50-inch TV in a particular room that where you like to watch movies.
That seems small.
Yeah, it is small. It's not a big TV. I mean, let me.
What are you talking about? That's freaking enormous.
I don't. Yeah, I know. Now wait. Let's talk about this for a second before I get on to my story. When I remember my wife and I, this is many years ago. We were planning on getting married, and we were going to buy a house. And the house, modest as it was way out of our league. I can remember the cost, $32,000 for a brand new house that had just been constructed. And I wasn't making that kind of dough. And Patty, but
you've never made that kind of dough.
Not that kind of dough. Whew. I mean, it sounds so pathetic now, but that was a big, big leap for us, $32,000.
Yeah, no kidding.
So we got a loan from her mom and dad, and I remember how much money it was. It was $5,000 they gave us for the down payment, and we immediately paid it back once we got into the house. But so we're going to buy this house. We think we're planning to buy it, but we also really want a new television set. And a friend of mine had a Sony Trinitron, a 19-inch TV set. And I said, I got to get me one of them. And it was
that's top of the line. The Trinitrons ruled the earth.
And they
back
were,
then.
I don't know, I can't remember, but I bet it was over $500. That was a big pile of change in those days.
Yeah.
And we really wanted the TV set. And so we decided, okay, are we going to get the TV set or are we going to buy the house?
Oh, wait a minute. So, okay. So they loaned you money for buying the house.
I'm getting it out of order. Oh. We didn't ask them for the money yet, but we thought, well.
Okay. Oh, got it. Okay.
Why don't we
so
just stay in an apartment and enjoy our massive screen, 19-inch Sony Trinitron TV, and we'll get a house later, right? Sometime after we get married.
In 25 years, we'll get a house.
We don't need a house. Yeah. This is fine right now in this apartment.
Because look at the TV.
Where we are
cohabitating,
much to my mother's annoyance. So we buy the television set at $500. It just killed us. Then a friend of ours wisely said, don't give up on the house just because you bought this television set. Get the house. And he persuaded us to go ahead and also buy the house. We got the loan from her parents. We moved into the house. And that's history. But that TV, that television set was so incredibly expensive. Now, nowadays, with inflation and everything else that is happening in the purchasing realm, somehow... Mm-hmm. Big screen television sets are dirt cheap. I don't understand why that is, but it's true. Among everything else, our 50-inch television set goes black. The video, I can still hear audio, but I can't see the screen anymore.
So now we're back to real time. Right? Because I do want to point out that you're absolutely right. I just looked up a Samsung 65-inch television, Pat Cashman, at Best Buy for $399. I think I'm going to run out and grab me one of them today just because that's a good buy. I don't know where to put it, but I gotta ask.
It is so ironic, and we did not talk prior to this podcast.
I should tell people, but
Best Buy is indeed the subject of my rant.
Oh! This is working out beautifully. Continue your story, Mr. Cashman.
All right. The other thing I wanted to point out before I get into this is that when I discovered our television had gone black and I could not get any video, I tried, you know, other cords and things from others to make sure that it wasn't a fluke. Nope, that thing has gone dark. Darkness, darkness, leave me my God.
Cover me with the endless night. Yes, burned itself out. All right. How long do you have? You're 50 inch.
About a week. No, we've had it for years. But still, okay. It didn't last as long as it should have. So here's the thing, Lisa. You try to find a TV repairman. I think they've become extinct.
Yeah, because it's so cheap to go just buy. It's cheaper to go buy the $399 TV than to get a TV repairman.
Oh, I know. It's so true. So I get online. So I guess I'm going to have to get a new set. So I get online. I take the old set to the dump. You know, they have a recycling area. So.
Isn't that sad? It's just like, really?
I wept a little bit. And then I said, okay, I got to get a new set. I'm going to get another 50-incher because it fits exactly on this table we have. So I look up 50-inch sets, and that's pretty good prices. Like you said, 300 something. Then I look at, I see, wait a minute. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? What? There's a Pioneer, which is a very good electronics brand, TV set. 50-inch for $189. At Best Buy.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I hop in my little jalopy, which is big enough to put a television set into the back of, and I head down to Best Buy. My pants are ablaze. I'm so excited.
Your pants are ablaze.
Yes. So I get down to Best Buy.
Shop Best Buy and experience the magic of giving the perfect gift.
I get down to Best Buy and I go running in there.
This is a good deal, man. $199. That's a good deal.
But you know, there's always a part of me that says, nah, that's $189 for somebody else. I'll never get that lucky.
Yeah.
They'll be sold out or something will go wrong.
Yeah. Or there was a typo. Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's just for the remote. Yeah, or you don't have the coupon. Whatever.
So I'm assuming it's going to be a fruitless mission. But I get into the store and I go back there and there's a young woman there. And I say, yes, I was interested. And I pitch my voice up for some reason. I'm interested in weird. Your...
Well, your pants were ablaze, so maybe that's why your voice changed.
So I get in there and say, yeah, I'm interested in the, you've advertised a Pioneer 50-inch set for $189. Do you happen to have that here in stock? And she gets on her little computer and
Yes, I see here, sir. By the way, my voice is pitched up even higher than yours. That we have one set left. It's in the back room.
No.
I want to buy that.
Okay, I'll go back and get it. Hang on.
So she goes back there. Pretty soon, she comes back with the set. It's packaged up, and it's on a hand truck, you know, and here she comes, and I said, oh, great. Make the transaction quickly. Do you want the extra protection, the 5-year protection? No. At $189, hell no. I don't need
it. No. Hell no. Because the extra protection is about $400.
Yeah, I didn't even ask because I don't. No.
Yeah, you should have asked.
I never take that extra protection.
I never take it.
A couple of times I've had the extra protection. We got a refrigerator. They, you know, if we're covered. The guy comes, oh, no, we can't fix this. Nah, yeah, he's blaming the manufacturer. Nah, they made a flawed product here. We can't honor this. I mean, if I could fix it, I would, but I can't because it just is a crummy product. I don't know why you people bought this, really, to tell you the truth.
And you're wait a minute. I bought the extra protection.
Yeah too bad. Yeah. Well, they say that, but it isn't really because you really need to get a whole new set.
Yeah. So I'm so excited. So you have the TV. She's ringing you up. It's there. She says, you want the extra protection. You said, hell no. And now what happens?
I go out to set. So can somebody bring it to the front? She said, well, I can take it to the front, but I can't let you take it out to your car directly. Someone has to take it out for you. I said, okay. Oh, why? The other thing I forgot to mention is that on this box in which the television set is situated. By the way, I have my television set on right now, and one of those Viore ads is coming on. There's a young woman running around. She's incredibly fit.
I'm Libby Dunn, All-American gymnast and Viore athlete. When you travel and train as much as I do, you find happiness where you are.
There's another one with guys. They're incredibly fit. And I think, well, if I buy those clothes, will I be incredibly fit? Will I look like that?
Yes.
I will? Okay, I'm going to buy them. And I'll report back and let you know.
Okay, and get the extra protection.
So the set is...
Okay, wait, I have a question. Yeah, Hold on, stop.
I'm telling this story very poorly.
Well, you're telling five stories at once. This is what's bothering me.
I keep getting off track. I'm sorry.
Okay, so she says you can't take this to your car by yourself. Why? I don't understand why. Is it because it's wieldy and unruly?
Well, we want to make sure that you don't trip over something and fall down and break it and then try to bring it back in and say, sorry, that thing's all damaged.
So they have to have a person, an employee, actually put it in your
car. Yeah, I guess to verify that there it is. It's in the car.
That you took delivery and everything was fine.
So a young guy comes out. He puts it in the back of my car. What I was about to mention, and maybe I did, but I can't remember, is that there is a little dent in this box. Looks like it might have been dropped. Okay. But it's the last one she said they have in stock. I'm sure it's going to be fine. I'm sure it's well packaged. So I take the thing home and I get it out of the box and I'm very excited. I take, I've got all the, and I put all the cords, the cables in and the audio for the sound bar and all.
I'm very impressed that you know how to put all this.
I'm as giddy as a colt.
Are your pants still ablaze?
They've cooled a bit, but they're still pretty hot. Hot to the touch.
Oh, it's too hot, too hot, too hot, lady. Gotta run for shelter, gotta run for shade.
I'm so excited for you. Okay, so...
The other television set was fine, but this is going to be even better because technology has improved so much.
Right.
So I hook it all up, and I'm just really, I'm wetting myself. I'm so excited. And I plug it in, and I'm in the back of the television set. I plug it in and start up the power, and I can hear audio. Oh, yeah, there's the audio. And I walk around the front, and there's a huge crack across the entire front of the screen.
Oh, Pat. Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you would think that I would bring out a torrent of filthy words and cursing, but I didn't. I was very calm.
You wept.
I might have wept a little bit. So I packed it all up, and this was really hard to unpack. I can't believe I packed it all up again, but I did. I got all the styrofoam back in the right place and put all the instructions and everything in there, and I was ready. And I put it back in the car. This was the next day.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. I know what's happening. I know what's coming.
You do?
Okay.
Why do you know?
I do. I just keep going. I'm not going to ditch your story. I just have a really bad
feeling. Put it in the back of the car, and I'm going to drive back down there. And I get down to Best Buy, walk in the door, and there's a couple of guys. They have these geeks that are standing out front. They have a thing called the Geek Squad.
Yeah, the Best Buy Geek Squad.
But this guy, go to the guy that looks like he's the most authoritative person there.
What do you base that on? What sort of criteria are you saying this guy?
Well, I want him to be older than 12. That's one thing. This guy's got a beard, he looks like he knows.
Does he have glasses on?
I think he did. And then there's another guy with him that's also looks like, you know, he could be an assistant manager or something. So I walk up to these two gentlemen and I say, "Hi, I bought a television here yesterday. It's a Pioneer 50-inch. You had it listed at $189. I bought it, took it in. I should mention that there was a bit of a dent in the box when I had it delivered to me, but the clerk acknowledged that that was there, but we both thought nothing of it because, you sold it to me. And then I got it home and I plugged it in and it was broken. The screen was cracked. And so I need to return this set and get a replacement." And the guy looks, he listened to the whole thing and he goes, "I'm sorry, sir. We can't take back a broken television set." I said, "What?" "We can't take it back, a broken." I said, "You sold me a broken television set. What do you mean you can't take it back?" And I'm getting uncharacteristically for me, I'm getting really shrill and mad and worked up. And it's like I want to grab the microphone. I said, "Excuse me, do you have an intercom here?"
"Yes, it's right over there."
"Thank you." And then I would get on there and go,
"Attention Best Buy customers. I am a disgruntled customer. I used to be gruntled, but now I'm disgruntled. That's because this store sold me a broken television. Now they will not take it back. Best Buy is worst store. You should leave here immediately. Unless you like getting screwed over, then this is the store for you."
But of course, I didn't have access to an intercom. But that's what I wanted. I wanted to call him out. I said, "What?" He said, "I'm sorry, sir. That's our policy." And I go really, very loudly. I said, "That's your policy? That's no policy at all. You don't have a policy."
Good comeback, Pat. Yeah, that was a good comeback.
Oh, man. I was engaged, and I thought, man, I should be a speechwriter right now. This is good.
You know, I wondered if they were going to trot out the, "No problem, sir. Did you buy the extra protection?" Because had you probably would have been okay.
Okay, Lisa. So here was my mistake.
Okay, what?
And I wasn't as over the top as I'm saying on the podcast, because
what you were feeling, right?
There's cops are going to show up and.
Yeah. And people are going to videotape it, and then you're going to be a meme. Yeah. And we do not want you to be a meme.
Exactly. And then my bail would be set at $189.
Right.
So I.
With no extra protection.
Of course. So I finally, you got to give up at some point. And you just have to shrug.
You can't fight the man. He's the man.
Now I realize my mistake was that I came in and said, "My TV set is broken." I should have just said, "I have to return this."
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't fit on my console. Or
you didn't like the color of it.
Whatever. You could say anything. And then I think they would have taken it back. But because I made the mistake of saying it's broken, then they had the out of saying, "Well, how do we know you didn't break it?
Right, right, right.
How do we know that?"
Now, I'm impressed that you were able to package it back up nicely.
I am too. I couldn't believe it.
But if you had brung it back and said, "I'm returning this because I don't like the color."
Yeah.
Or it doesn't fit or whatever.
I don't like the programs that are on it.
Exactly. The remote's too hard to use. Whatever.
Yeah.
What if she had said to you, "Sir, if you opened this package, would you have just lied right through your teeth?" I mean, I guess you're that far into the lie. Would you have lied and said, "No"?
No, I wouldn't lie. I would just omit that part about it being broken.
Oh, okay.
That was my mistake.
We
don't take back broken TVs.
But if you opened it, it's okay.
Yeah, I never got that far, but I think that was my mistake. And if you're listening, ladies and gentlemen, especially if your kids are listening, never tell the truth. Never tell the truth. If you never tell the truth, you might be elected president. But never, ever tell the truth.
All right. So what then? What happened then? You haven't gone into the store. The TV's still in your car. They're like, sorry, you're SOL, dude. And so now what?
Lisa, do you remember one of our many firings from radio jobs? There was
dismissals.
God love, we had a few listeners. And they were passionate, mm-hmm. and they cared that we weren't on the air anymore. And one guy came to the radio station where we used to work, and he came in the front door into the lobby and hurled an open bag of fertilizer, bull fertilizer, into their lobby and ran out the door.
I don't remember this.
Yeah, it's a legendary
really?
Story. After that, this radio station... had a lock on the door. You had to use a little intercom to gain entrance. I mean, it's all because of that incident. God love whoever did that, but it was sort of vandalism, and you probably could get arrested for that. But then that made me think, Chets, that's what I should have done. I should have grabbed that box, that television set, gone in, hurled it into the door. And then stomped off. Yeah, that would be a really smart thing to do. Why didn't I do that?
Yeah, because again, you would have turned into a viral video mm-hmm. and become a meme. Is that how you want to spend the rest of your life?
Yeah, you have to assume, even if you're in a cave somewhere down in Mexico, that you're going to be on video.
I know.
Those cameras are everywhere.
This is why I worry that I can't lose my shit in public. I come home and lose it because I know,
losing your shit means losing a part of your reputation too. It's a big deal. So
yeah, it is a big deal.
And you can't have that happen.
Okay,
so I go home and I tell my wife this story, and
you have the television with you.
I shrug and she says, "Okay, that's it." And she gets on the phone, Lisa. She spends the better part of half a day. She calls the store. Nobody answers at the store.
Of course.
She calls corporate. She goes straight to the top. And then, she calls the bank because we're going to get the check stopped.
You wrote a check.
No, I didn't write a check. It was a credit card transaction.
Oh, got it.
So I misspoke, but
we're
going to get the money. And then she gets to the corporate. Anyway, after much labor and incredible amount of diligence, now... in a few days, they're going to bring our new television set to us and take away the old one. The Geek Squad is going to come to our house. So now I'm not as worked up as I was if I had told the story immediately afterwards. But
right,
that's it.
So has your
I'm still never going to Best Buy again. By the way,
really? So I was going to ask you. They made it right. So you're still pinched about the whole thing? I mean,
well, they made it right, but they only made it right because we had to jump through 15,000 hoops to do it.
Right.
Wouldn't it be great if every company was like Nordstrom? You walk in, like we talked about in our last podcast. Okay, no problem. It's broken. We'll take it right back. No sweat off their nose. Come on.
Right.
Take tax deduction or whatever the company has to do.
A lot.
But to say, nope, if it's broken, we can't take it back, even though we just sold it to you mere hours ago.
Yeah, well, you can do a lot of damage to a TV in mere hours. So it's...
I can,
you know,
yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Wow, that's quite the... When the geek guys showed up...
They haven't showed up yet.
They're coming... Oh, good. So what's your demeanor going to be? Are you going to be all stuffy and snooty about it?
Oh,
are your pants going to be on fire?
Yeah, I'm going to be like normal.
Are you going to be all haughty? Haughty?
No, they won't. They don't know my story. Yeah,
it's not the guys you talk to.
No, these are just so anyway.
Regular geek guys. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I have a comment about, I am on many what's called dating apps, not many at a time, but I've gone through a few of them. And I found that there's a lot of men who want a woman who has a sense of humor. Now, what's interesting about this...
What they mean is that they want the woman to think they're funny.
That's exactly... How did you know that?
Because I do that.
Exactly. So when we say sense of humor, they don't want a woman who's funny.
Right.
They are looking for someone who's clever or can make an interesting story funny or do something.
They want a good audience.
That's exactly right. I was astonished to find out that men's definition of a woman with a good sense of humor is someone who laughs at them.
I know.
I'm like, wait, what? Everybody thinks they have a good sense of humor. Everybody
sure.
thinks they're funny.
Yeah, that's the worst thing you can tell somebody.
Exactly. It's subjective. I mean, yeah. A joke you might make, I might think is pedestrian or stupid or not funny at all. And so now that I didn't laugh at your stupid joke, I don't have a sense of humor? That just seems wholly unfair.
Hey,
there's my rant.
Do you like walking on the beach, Lisa? Isn't that one of the biggest cliches?
Yes. Yeah.
Who walks on the beach? And if you don't happen to live near a beach, I mean, in the Midwest, what do they say on those dating sites?
I don't know.
I like to walk in a cornfield.
I enjoy long walks on gravel roads.
Yeah. I like to look at cows. I mean, it's just so stupid.
Yeah, there's a lot of overused cliches on dating. My favorites are I'm a glass half full kind of guy. Really? Well, is it half full of vodka? I hope, because that's what it's going to take for me to get through a date with you.
What are some other things that you've been doing this so long that are red flags for you? And you say, okay, I'm not going to engage with this guy.
Well, when they say, you know, what I'm looking for is a good kisser. It's, again, okay, I don't think any of us are looking for someone who's a bad kisser. And it's subjective. How do you know? And it's pretty presumptuous of you to even think that. Why would you even put that out there right away?
You've got to kiss an angel good morning and let her know you think about her when you're gone.
What I'm looking for, so when I say good kisser, I mean someone that I can drive my tongue down their throat.
Exactly.
If that's you, call me.
Kiss an angel good morning, and love her like the devil when you get back home.
Here's another one, and I'm glad you brought this up because I'm following a woman on Instagram. She's a professor of linguistics. And she does critical discourse analysis on men's dating profiles. So you can really see what they're saying. It's fascinating. It's called it's Jenny Young, Dr. Jenny Young, for anybody who wants to follow her. And it's called Word Case Scenario. She's fascinating. And one of the things that came up in this group that we were talking about is men who say, I like to cuddle. There's something creepy about.
Yes.
Yes, cuddle or snuggle. When I see that in a profile, I run far away. Because,
God, who would – I've never been
so
on dating sites, but why would you put that in there? That's
yeah,
too much
just,
intimacy. And
exactly. Ugh. I want to cuddle. I want to snuggle. Okay, go get a teddy bear then because I'm not – that's just creepy to me. The men who no drama men are awesome because
yeah.
life – is drama. So if you're like, I don't want any drama. Oh my God. Well, okay. Good luck with that. I don't think you're going to ever find a situation where there isn't going to be some emotion or some sort of.
Well, it's probably a lot of projection too, Lisa. They're the dramatists.
Exactly. Yeah. The ones that say no drama are the ones creating the effing drama.
Yeah.
So this has been fascinating. She created this called the Burned Haystack Dating Method. And this was born out of her frustration on these sort of mediocre men that were populating these dating sites. And out of frustration one night, she just said, I want to try to find my needle in the haystack here. And she just Googled, how do you find a needle in a haystack? And the simple answer is you just burn the haystack down. just burn all the straw and there's the needle left over. Hmm. So this has all been born out of her her frustration of let's burn the haystack, ladies. And this is only for women who are looking for a partner in a relationship. If you're just looking for a hookup, then yeah, go for Mr. Cuddle. I want a good kisser guy, because that's going to get you right where you need to be. But for women who are looking for partners, companionship, a relationship, an actual relationship, this is really about this critical discourse analysis of these men's profiles. Really save you a lot of time and energy when you can look right through what they're actually saying and move on. The other one that she loves to bring up are the opposite, the men who want what's called opposite woman. And this is where they'll say, I want a woman who's just as comfortable in a little black dress and heels as she is in jeans and flip flops. So opposite woman is somebody who does very opposite things. And that's a good one to watch for. When he danced, he held me tight. And when he walked, he home tonight. All the stars were shining bright. And then he kissed me.
But what would be a good example of what would look good to you is a guy's description or what he wants? Or,
well, first of all, pictures. So we have pillow guy. There's some trend now where men are taking pictures of them lying back on pillows.
That,
as if we're supposed to imagine how that might look for us if we were to
That's such a bad instinct.
That's called Pillow Guy. Pillow Guy.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of My Pillow.
And then we have Dead Fish Guy. And Dead Fish Guy is the guy holding up the dead fish saying, look, I can – it's almost like a – I'm not sure – I have to go back to her description of the dead fish guys. There's a lot of them out there. And then we have
Wait, I don't understand. What does that mean?
He's dead holding fish. Up a dead fish.
To indicate what?
I don't know. Maybe he's saying, look, I can provide for you. I can catch you food. So pick me. Or look at what a man I am. I just killed this. Look.
Every time I go out to your place, you gone fishing.
Ah, you know.
Well, there's a sign upon your door.
Uh-huh.
Gone fishing.
I'm real gone, man.
You ain't working anymore.
Could be.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
That makes sense.
We don't know. We don't know. But there's a lot of dead fish pictures, and there's a lot of pictures of just their motorcycle. Not them on the motorcycle, but a picture of their beloved motorcycle.
Chicks, oh, my God. He's got a motorcycle.
Oh, my God.
He's my guy.
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway.
Yeah, I love it. So it's more about just – it's more about weeding out what's not wrong to be left with things that are palatable and men that are that are high-value men instead of these sort of low-value, mediocre men who are just selfish and – clueless. I mean, who wants to spend the rest of their life with someone who's selfish and clueless? So this has been really fascinating for me to dive into linguistics and all this, just really studying. She teaches courses in this too, and it's just really fascinating. People say things they don't really know. They don't know they're saying something that they're giving away a lot about their character and their values and how they word their bios.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating. So anyway, I don't even know how I got off on that topic.
No, that's actually worthy of further examination in a future podcast.
So burned haystack method, dating method. Dr. Jenny Young is fascinating. Follow her on Instagram. Word case scenario.
Wow,
is her
you
Instagram.
Just did a wonderful commercial for her.
Yeah, she's great.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
One day, an older man was in a clinic for a checkup. And after his examination, his doctor was amazed. He says, "Holy cow, Mr. Edwards. I have to say you are in the greatest shape of any 64-year-old man I have ever examined."
"Did I say I was 64?
Well, no. Did I read your chart wrong?
Yes, you did. I am 85 years old.
85? That's unbelievable. You'd be in great shape if you were 25. That's astounding. How old was your father when he died?
Did I say he was dead?
You mean?
Damn straight. He's 106 and he's going strong.
Oh, my Lord. What a healthy family you must have come from. How long did your grandfather live?
Did I say he was dead?
No. You can't mean...
Damn straight. He's 126 and he's getting married next week.
126? That's amazing, Mr. Edwards. But gosh, I wouldn't think a man would want to get married at that age.
Did I say he wanted to get married?
Oh, is that it?
In the Garden of Eden, honey, don't you know that I love you? In the Garden of Eden, baby, don't you know that I'll always be true?
Hey, Marge, remember when we used to make out to this hymn? Wait a minute, this sounds like rock and or roll.
Thanks for listening to Peculiar Podcast.
Hey, goodbyes.
Join Pat and Lisa online at peculiarpodcast.com.
The gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
And on the Peculiar Podcast Facebook fan page.
Sweet.
On Twitter at Peculiar Podcast, at Mr. Pat Cashman, and at Foster Chick.
Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration.